the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by two on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bringing it front out, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Michiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The Joe Schott Hour is upon us here on this Monday morning as we get set for another busy week of Michigan Tech hockey. The Huskies play another Tuesday, Friday, Saturday games coming up this week, and all against the same team, Ferris State University. As the Huskies come off a sweep down in Huntsville against Alabama Huntsville this past Friday and Saturday night, and get to finish up that long road trip, seven-game road trip, tomorrow afternoon at 4, we welcome head coach Joe Schott to the show. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
Hey, nice to have you with us. Thanks for being with us here. I know couple of more days left on this long road trip for you guys, and we'll be back home for a while. Got some business to take care of, but I thought you did a great job preparing the team for this past weekend at Huntsville. It's always tough when you're traveling as much as you guys and all of us have, but to get ready for that weekend and come away with two wins is a big thing.
Yeah, I thought the guys played really well. This is really a format that is, you know, it's good to get all the games in. It's good for constant teaching. I think it's hard on the players. It's certainly hard on the players that aren't getting a great chance to prove themselves in practice. So really, you know, concerned about that aspect of it. It's not like in the pro level you play all these games, but you have players going up and down. You have very few guys on your pro roster, so you can get guys into the American League and things like that to play games. Right now, my biggest concern is the mental well-being of our athletes, because we aren't getting those three good days of practice before our pregame, you know, our game pre-day skate, in order for guys to work and try to take someone's job, and so that's the hard part of this, that's the biggest concern for me right now.
Yeah, what I liked is that we're getting both goaltenders. I know we have three goaltenders, but the two that have been playing most of the games, we're getting both goaltenders in games, staying, you know, in that mental frame of mind, I guess, that you're hoping that they will, as you know, and yet, as you've been saying, you never know what's going to happen as far as any more delays or cancellations, knock on wood that doesn't happen, but and some line changes, coach. You guys have moved some guys around, Hallinan being one of those guys that just, it's nice to see, you know, when you do that kind of stuff and you have the goaltenders and you make some line changes, that it really works, and it seemed to really work this weekend.
Yeah, that's important to try to find combinations on guys that are in and out of the trending cycles, that you can find guys that are playing together that are doing well, and that's constant experimentation. Brooksy does a good job with that in trying to identify. We talk a lot about that, who will complement each other as we go into the game. If this isn't working, let's take a peek at this. I thought moving Hallinan with Bliss and Misiak showed some dividends for Brian. It didn't really change a whole lot, Blisser and Justin, but it did show get Brian more energized and more involved. He's just kind of, nothing has just really been consistently working for him for the last few weeks anyways. Where he just, you can see where he just doesn't feel like he's completely in the flow of the game. And I thought that change did a good job, in and out of that, but that change did a good job, because as we said, Misiak just has a way of bringing out the best in players that he's playing with. You'd like to see that out of all your centermen. That's really, I think, the sign of a truly impact player is that they make other players better. And Justin does that. So that sure, I think it proved dividends for Brian and made him more valuable in the games, more impactful in the games, I think, in the second game at Huntsville. I sent, you know, some other things. We've been getting some pretty decent play out of some other players as well. Blisser was fantastic in that he really showed the team the way to attack critical in the game in the second half of the game against Huntsville, and that really opened that game up for us because they were doing a really good job of keeping us in non-critical ice and really having us attack their forwards with the puck instead of attacking their D with the puck, and that was leaving their D for transitional purposes. So once we were able to break that a little bit, I think that opened that game up a bit.
I like when you guys talk to us in layman terms sometimes. Over the weekend, you really kind of flicked the switch for me as far as why these type of teams, why Huntsville is so difficult to play against offensively, to get to score. And you know, when it seems like we're getting so many opportunities, or at least carrying so much of the play, and you broke it down in real simple terms, is that they are so dedicated to defending and not taking chances offensively that it makes it that much more difficult as an offensive-minded team as we are. I mean, we're both offense and defense, but we have so many good offensive players, it does make a difference. And I appreciate you guys kind of breaking that down for us, because I think as a fan, it lets you understand the game a little bit more.
Yeah, it's even more important. It's great to share that, but it's important for the players to understand that it's not going to be easy. The offense isn't going to come easy. You know, when you're playing against teams that are trying to generate offense and trying to take advantage of create on-man rushes and trying to force things aggressively on the forecheck and things like that, it does open up seams. You can catch teams, you can catch teams and create scoring chances that allow puck carriers to have a little more room. When a team isn't forechecking that hard, only forechecking on true pressure situations, and when they're playing like a 1-4 neutral zone, things like that, they're picking everybody up. And that's what I was saying just a few moments ago, that so often our defensemen and our puck carriers are then, say our D moves it right to the winger, well, the winger is being attacked by a forward, not a defenseman. And when there's a forward attacking the puck carrier, that means there's another line of coverage behind them. So that when we just give the puck back to them, chip it in deep or whatever, they're the first guys to the puck. When you're attacking a defenseman as a forward, then there's nothing really behind them. So if you can beat them wide, well, then there's a scoring chance. But at worst, you can chip it and go get it yourself and create foot races and things like that that can create coverage changes and open up some ice as well. So they were hard in that respect. So we had to change. We had to really, and the difficult part for us as coaches was to try to get the guys to find ways to be critical and come and be able to attack their defensemen more so than the forwards. And like I said, Blisser did that and really showed the way and created some weak side two-on-ones by doing that, catching a lot of that overloaded pressure and getting inside of that. And that opened up some space on the outside. And then you saw mostly do that in the third period on Ashbrook's goal. And that actually led to two goals. Mosley took it inside and then kicked it back out. And then freed up Mosley. I think he fed it to Nardella, who gave it to Mosley. Gave it to Ashbrook, who scored, and drew a penalty, which Bretzman scored immediately early on that power play. So that led to a two-goal swing. So I really complimented Blisser on that for showing the guys the way and teaching some of these guys. And then some young talent like Mosley was able to read off that. He's a smart player, we've said that, and make a good play for us that really broke that game open.
Well, there's many bad things about us, the Huskies, not being able to have all of the fans to watch. But one of the bad things right now is that people are only able to see either on a video stream or on highlights some of the players you just talked about: Ryan Mosley, Blaze Richards, Nick Nardella, and Tristan Ashbrook. These four guys right now, Coach, are so much fun to watch, and they've just been so impactful on the game, especially the last couple of weekends, and especially Tristan Ashbrook, as you said.
Well, what they've done is they've given us balance on four lines. We don't have a line that's basically, designed for defensive purposes and trying to do risk management on liability. They're providing offense for us. And, Ashbrook scored in four straight games. He's got five on us for us on the year. And, and Nardella's making some plays for us and learning and getting good minutes in. And Mosley has really added to that line because he gives us smart energy and compete. He's a fun player to watch. And as you mentioned, people are getting to see him. But the good side of that is in this pandemic year, these players all have four more years to play. So, barring them leaving earlier, transferring or turning pro, they'll get a lot of opportunity to watch them. Hopefully when everything opens back up at some point and things get back normalized a bit.
It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And I know you have done this already, even today, Coach, and in prior weeks, but can you once again explain, break down Tristan Ashbrook and what it is about him that makes him so explosive, so deadly when it comes to scoring goals, and what a true goal scorer means to the team?
Well, let's start with the second part of what it means to the team. It takes off a ton of pressure. And as we mentioned in the post game the other night when we were talking, you get so many teams that have access to these types of players. In the high profile, just like the SEC in football and the Big Ten in football, they have access. People want to go to the named schools often. They don't look at what might be the best option for them or give them the best life. They want to go to the best program. Well, with that comes that competition, that fight for those schools. And they have, they have five or six of these guys in the lineup that score. And when you have that, you got to say to yourself, how do they lose? How are they not? And that's why with these rule changes and things that allow for easy transferring now and things like that for in a lot of ways stealing players, the rich just keep getting richer and they just keep getting these players and it'll be harder and harder no matter how well you do and how well you're treated by the university and the quality of the education and all that, all those things that Tech offers. People are going to come after them through the agents and say, hey, listen, the school wants you. They feel you'll be a top six. This guy signed. Can you go? But a score, I'm going off a little bit, but a score adds that element to your team. If you get everything else, all the other competitive side and the brains and everything, as well as the scoring, well, then you just have a complete player. And if they're not selfish and they're willing to share the puck and share the wealth for the good of the team, then it's very hard to compete with those types of teams on a consistent fashion. Tristan gives us scoring ability, the first part of your question. He scores. He gets a look at the net and he scores. Other guys, it could take him seven chances to put the same puck in the net. Tristan's going to, one out of two is going in the net. And that's the value of him. Now, like I said, he's got a lot of things, as far as his angling and his reading the forecheck and picking up in D zone cover and things like that, line rush D. He's got a lot of things to master yet that he works hard at, but he does score. And that's probably gotten him, given him a break a bit with some, in some of his development paths growing up where they kind of left him alone to keep him happy, to let him just do what he does, which is score goals. But when you get to this level, we want him, if he wants a future in hockey, there's still more improvement for him to do. But what he does do is score. And if we have four or five of those guys that do that, Blisser has a pretty good ability to score. If we have, four or five of those guys, and then all of a sudden you get Alex Patan and you get, Tanner Carroll, you get four, 500-point guys like Bowling Green has right now in their locker room on the ice at a given time. Now you've got, now you're competing with the best in the country because they have those same type of players. That's what we're trying to do. That's what Tristan, a guy like Tristan, does for you. We're often trying to develop that in players where they're good players in junior hockey, but they're not naturally gifted goal scorers. They score their goals, they get their goals, but they're not in the upper echelon of goal scoring naturally. So Christian is that. He does score. If he gets a look, he'll score. And the more he understands the game and the more involvement he has in the game, the more he will score. Because if it's on the stick in a good spot and he has a good look, it's going in the net.
So what is the big difference from a good player that gets his goals to a Tristan Ashbrook who is a pure scorer? Is it they? You know, we always heard Mel say that person shoots to score instead of just shooting on net.
Well,
what are some of the differences?
Well, that's the simple way to put it. Well, first of all, I can't tell you. I can give you my ball hockey and road hockey exploits, but I can't tell you about Division I hockey. But I will say this. Mike Bossy, one of the most prolific scorers of all time, and other players have echoed it since it, but he said it, I think, perfectly. When a lot of players shoot, they see goalie. And Mike Bossy of the New York Islanders used to say, when I shoot, I see net. And that might be the biggest difference. I mean, simplified is that they see net. They, over time, their brain works in a way that a little shoulder drop, a little whatever, opens up, and they think it a little bit differently. Instead of just shooting it, they see net, and they understand net, and they're maybe a half a second ahead of the play in their mind and visualization as to what's happening, versus, you know, another player might get it and see something and shoots it, but he's in the moment. I really think that goal scorers, elite quarterbacks in football, you know, elite athletes, as far as the offensive side of games as a rule, I think they see it a little bit ahead. Like Wayne Gretzky used to say, what makes you so good? And he said, I don't know, I go where the puck is going, not where it's been. Like he always anticipated, and I think that was his way of saying, I see things happen ahead of time, and what can be done, option 1, 2, 3, based on if I get it there, and that there is in the future, not in the present. So I think that's really what a lot of what it is that they have an innate ability of quickly processing the options in the future based on what's going now, and so many are stuck in now, and some people are stuck in the past, like where it was. They're still focusing on what just happened when they at least should be focusing on what's going on now, but the elite ones are focusing on what's going to happen in a split second ahead. That's my firm belief anyways.
Cal reminded me right after the game Saturday night that Tristan had now scored in 4 straight for the Huskies, and Arvid Katteroff now with 8 a point in 8 straight games. So a couple of nice streaks right there for a couple of Michigan Tech players. We've got so much to talk about, Coach. I've got some questions of my own. I know we've got some questions coming in on email. We'll take a quick timeout, be back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. And our email address for those questions, if you are listening Monday morning here live and not on the replay, DJ@themix93.com.
February is a cold, short month, but the deals are long and hot at Buckos and Calumet. All 6 packs, can, 12-ounce beer on sale. All 2 liters, 2 for $3. Pepsi 12 packs of cans, 2 for $10. All 28-ounce Powerades, only $1. Grab some Skinny Pete's baked goods from their ever-growing inventory, along with your favorite frozen foods. Stay warm this winter with Kiwanis alpaca gear, and pick up your snowmobile trail stickers, ice fishing licenses, and bait. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Buckos, and upon checkout, leave your request on what you would like from the Bucko's Food Department.
This is pop music mixed by one DJ and one can of truly hard seltzer. Truly, with just 1 gram of sugar and 16 flavors, it's music to your taste buds. No cans were harmed in the making of this ad. Except that one. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Mass. Please drink responsibly.
Okay, set it down over there and then go to Bay 5.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
We need to keep going to finish.
Like Amir's warehouse. To expand capacity, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Inspiration is amazing. It can turn this into this. Put it all together, and you get something special. Views is putting it all together with a special price. 99 cents for a Views Alto power unit. Available in-store and at Views.com. Views. Charge beyond. Vapor products. Underage sale prohibited. 99 cents plus tax. Pod sold separately. Website restricted to age 21 and over tobacco consumers.
Slid over for Swoyer. Huskies a little bit off their marks right now on the passes, but Swoyer walks in, looks for the redirect, here's a shot, and he scores! Brian Helen with the goal for the Huskies, ties it up on the power play! And the Huskies now control it, back to the point there for Goats. Goats, good hard pass over for Blitz. Blitz to the front, here's a shot, scores! Arvid Kenneroff with the goal right down the middle of the slot between the hash marks, went 5-0, I believe, on goaltender Fessenden. Back to action now, play inside of the Chargers zone. Huntsville will work it up to center ice. Taken away by the Huskies. On the transition across the line, Nardella making a move. Just couldn't get the shot off. Swings it to the front, and they score! What a play by Nardella to the front of the net. Ashbrook was the beneficiary on that one, puts it in, and the Huskies take a 3-1 lead with 13:30 remaining in the period. Now brought in by the Chargers, deep inside the Michigan Tech zone. Goats couldn't find it. It's back behind the net. Good job by Ashbrook. Moves it up. And now taken up by Mosley. Mosley with a pass for Nardella. Nardella across the line. Got it to the middle. A score! What a shot taken there by Ashbrook on a great feed. And the Huskies take a 2-goal lead with 13:41 remaining here in the third period.
Some of the highlights from over the weekend down in Huntsville, Alabama. The Huskies with 3-1, 4-1 victories against the Chargers and sweep the season series, the regular season series against Huntsville. And we were talking a lot about Ashbrook and these guys that have recently joined the Huskies with Ashbrook and Mosley, and then a couple of freshmen, talking about Nardella and Blaze Richards. How much, Coach, are these guys pushing some of the maybe veteran players that we're still looking to kind of get going?
Well, if they're not, they should be. There should be that feeling of, because the reason being is because they're performing. They're producing in the games and they're performing. So it's one thing if you're interjecting your blood into a lineup and things and things aren't going so well. We had that a couple of years ago when we just went through a miserable time because we weren't getting production out of some upperclassmen who were part of successful teams prior to that, and they felt it was their time to shine, but really the performance level was not there. So we started giving more and more ice time to these guys now who are the Blisses and the Bretzmans and the Hallamans, and go on through with that, Goats and right on down the list, that group of players have consistently performed for us for at that time and for the last couple of years. So if you're not winning, then it can cause issues if your character and your culture isn't tremendous. Our character and culture is good, and we're having success with it, and they're contributing to the success. So if you want to be part of it, you got to jump on board with it and really, take what's there. And that's where I opened up kind of the show with, where my concern is right now for the welfare of the players, because they want an opportunity to do that. They want an opportunity to perform and to get better and to show that they deserve to be in the lineup. And with our schedule, the last couple of weeks and going forward to some degree with this COVID, times and these makeup games, we're traveling a day and then we're practicing. We might get a 15-minute, 20-minute skate in that day. The next day is a pregame type of deal. So, there's trying to solve a few issues, but trying to maintain our energy level as well. And then skating, the guys trying to work a bit with the guys that aren't playing afterwards to keep them conditioned and things. And then you're playing the next day, and then you're doing it all over. And then you might be playing the next day, and then doing it all over again. And then you're traveling again, maybe getting a light skate in when you get to your destination, skating the next day, and then playing again. So there's not a lot of time for those players to get back on the horse and say, hey, listen, Coach, I can do this, and to show us they can do it. They aren't getting that opportunity. So my concern is for the players that are still at home, that aren't part of this right now, they are in spirit but not in body, and the players that are here, because every game is so critical right now for the end game and for the development going forward, just a very condensed time.
Coach, we gave up three shots on Friday night in 40 minutes of play time, the second and third period. Gave up three in the second, none in the third, for a 39-9 total of shots on goal. I don't care what team you're playing and what league, that's not easy to do. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, the guys are playing hard. You know, we're at the point with this group where we're able to bring it back to some degree. So that what that means is we have the foundation developing and being understood in place where we can bring it back in and say, guys, let's do this a little better. Guys, we need to have this a little better. And on Friday night, we were able to do that. And, you know, a big part of, I think, our weekend series that can go either way, as we saw at Bowling Green. Bowling Green, 5-on-5, we may have outscored them. I don't know. We were at least even with them. But it was the power play that they chewed us up on. They got a couple of power play goals each night and then an empty net goal. I think they had four even strength goals on the weekend and of the 11 and seven between the power play and empty net goal, and then they got a shorthanded goal as well. So 5-on-5, you know, even games. But the whole thing changed and the whole feeling of it changed with the special teams. Huntsville, we did well in special teams. We didn't allow. They got one very late on the first night on their very first power play of the weekend when we were coming back on the ice. Other than that, we did an outstanding job. So we killed off. We were 100% on the penalty kill on the weekend, and we scored each night in the power play, which is the difference in hockey games. So those parts, 5-on-5, we had an advantage, but our special teams were good, which need to be there as well. Because if they weren't, if Huntsville outplayed us on the special teams, they probably win one of those games, regardless of the shots and whatever else goes on. They probably win one of those games. And that's what happened a year ago when we played them on the second night. We were down, I think it was tied going into the third period, or we went down a goal, and then they ended up beating us 3-1. And that was a devastating loss, but a team loss. It took us from 8th in the country to 17th on one night. And this year, I give our guys credit. They didn't allow that to happen.
So, Coach, Connor Wood and Ayodel Adeniyi, I love saying that name, both were whistled with penalties late in that second period Saturday night, giving us a minute and 30 or so of 5-on-3 power play with a clean sheet of ice to start the third period. We weren't able to score in that. So many things went well that week, and obviously that power play didn't. What did you see as what hindered us in that 5-on-3 advantage?
Well, first of all, we had a couple of really good looks. If you remember, Brian Hallinan was robbed on the back door. Great, I think Sawyer made the pass to the back door, and Brian got all of it.
Right.
Didn't get it up far enough in the net, or else there was no chance for the goaltender. He just kind of desperately reached his leg out there and was able to stop it. So we had a couple of good looks, but I thought we took the easy shot for the most part. First of all, we killed time. We didn't have as much urgency. And part of that may be me. We made the adjustment. If you recall, at the end of the second period, Tyler Rockwell went off the ice. He got a slight injury. And so we didn't know if we could, if I didn't feel confident with him, to start the third period knowing that he was going to be 100%. So we went with a different power play unit, but we wanted Bliss on the ice. And so I put Blisser on the ice with the other unit. And I think that kind of took a little bit of their, although again, we got a couple of chances. I think that took a little bit of their, cohesiveness, out of that unit. So I'll take the hit on that. And so I think that's what really had it. And then when we got to the 5-on-5 portion of it, it was very little. But we had an extended 5-on-3 that we could have done more. We took a couple of wrist shots with no screen at the net from the point, just like you may do on a 5-on-4 power play, instead of trying to move the puck quicker and find those quick hits like we were able to do the one time to Allen. And so I'll take the hit on that. Part of it was because I wanted to go with the other unit based on Rockwell's situation, and I wanted Bliss on the ice, so and it didn't work out that well.
All right, you're tuned into the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We're going to get to some of your questions on the other side of the break, and if you are listening here live on Monday morning, you can still get one in, but do it quickly, please. DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Schon Hour continues right after these.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, hit the light.
We belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
Huskies control on the power play. Shot scores! Oh, Pretzman found the half of an empty net there, and he just buried it as goaltender Kral just could not get over there in time. That hard wrister by Pretzman gives the Huskies a 4-1 lead with 12-12 left to go in the third period.
Well, welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. Head coach Joe is not with us physically, but he is with us by telephone today as the Huskies getting set to take on Ferris State. It will end up being, I think, four games against the Bulldogs in 11 days or something like that. They'll play tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, 4:07 is the face-off time. 3:30 or right thereabout will be on the air with our pregame here on Mix 93. And then this weekend, 7:07 and 6:07, Friday and Saturday, back home here at the John McInnes Student Ice Arena. Got a couple of questions for you that have come in, Coach. And the first one is a bit of an interesting one. What if the league were to expect and make you as a coach choose to take one weekend of the season and go behind the bench of the other team as their coach against the Huskies? You would not be able to put any time in for systems, but simply based on the compete energy and hockey desire, which team would you choose to coach? Interesting.
Well, it'd be Mankato. I mean, Mankato, because I watch and listen based on what the question is, to watch and listen to and try to pick up something within their culture and listen to how the leaders handle the team. So it'd be Mankato. They have a real strong culture in place that is demanding of performance. And like we've said, they have so many players that are top end players that that are not playing, very good players that are not playing. I mean, they have a transfer that came in from Boston College, a transfer goaltender that came in from Boston College to be the backup goalie for Dryden McKay. So there's players going there, for their culture and for the opportunity. And so it'd be Mankato, because they're getting performance out of everybody in their lineup as we're looking to. And that comes from everybody having to perform all the time and that expectation.
All right. Thanks for the question. They also go on to ask me, who I get emotionally energized to call against the Huskies. And, of course, Northern every time would be an easy one right there. And I would say Mankato, playing Mankato, because usually we're going in as the underdogs. And anytime you can go in as the underdogs with an opportunity to get an upset, it certainly gets the juices going. Good question. All right, next question for Coach is, for long road trips, does the team have any guidelines such as a maximum amount of time on the bus in one day, or nutritional rules, or stretching during bus travel?
Well, nutrition, and we have guys that do a great job with that. Tyler does a great job, and he's, you know, you really look at how we've been able to perform in this stretch here. A lot of that comes to the training that we've gotten, and Tyler's done a great job in preparing us physically to be able to go through the grind like this and to keep performing. As far as the bus travel, I would say that there's not a limit as far as the amount of time we can spend on the bus that I know of, but there is a limit as far as how long a bus driver can drive. So oftentimes on long trips, if we're busing, we'll get bumps where the drivers switch, and some, you know, one will be down waiting in Louisville, and they'll get on the bus and the other driver will be done. So we have those situations that occur, and all our meals are set up in advance. This has been a great job. Chris really handled this. It used to be handled by Brian Brewster, and then Nate Larson took a stab at it, but we've been kind of doing that internally now, and Brooksy did a great job in setting up our meals during this period, because you're not going into restaurants. You're picking up meals, and just like we're doing at home, and picking up meals and bringing them and giving them to the guys to make sure they have enough and things like that. So that's kind of, I guess, how we're handling things now. But I will say this, it's important. One thing that is important to have a driver, a consistent driver, bus driver that you like, that feels vested in the group, that's part of the group, part of the team, and is with you all the time. That continuity, that elimination of surprises, that person who understands the way that you like to do business, and you don't get on the bus and the music's blaring and those types of things, having that individual is important. And we have John Beckler who handles us, and he does an absolutely tremendous job. He's part of our group.
And that's a great point you just brought up there, Coach, because I agree. I know we've been on the bus sometimes up in Fairbanks, where you're being just bused from the hotel to the rink, and you go in there, and there is a radio station just blasting on it, because they just don't know. They just don't know the culture. And it's so important to have that guy that knows the protocols, knows the etiquette as far as driving your team. And like you said, vested, having somebody that is really, truly, genuinely rooting for your team.
Yeah, it means a lot, and John is. John, you know, he's watching our games when we're not playing. He knows exactly what's going on all the time. So it's invaluable as far as being part of the family, part of the driving the culture of what we do, because that individual's around us a lot.
Right. All right, next question for you, Coach. Any idea what might become of the Lake State Series that was postponed earlier?
Well, what we're looking at right now is next Tuesday at home. Well, these games will be home games. And then the following Tuesday, very similar to what's going on here with Ferris State. That's what that's been something that's been going on with the league and the teams now getting involved in making up the games. So that's what we're looking at now. It's been a little bit challenging that scenario of it, because I think that there was the thought that maybe some games might be canceled and not played because of, you know, the time frame available to make up games. And so with that came the possible scenario of teams picking and choosing which teams they're going to play against, if that makes sense. Like, if you're going to cancel a game, you know, say we're supposed to play Mankato, and we'll just use this example, and they say, okay, we're going to knock off two games if teams have four games to make up because of COVID, we're going to knock off two of them. And we're playing Mankato and Ferris and have to make up those games. well, who do you play? You know, and if teams start to pick and choose and get to pick and choose who they play, then it starts getting into some problems. So the league stepped in last week and mandated that games have to be played because there was discussion going on between at least one team and the league about not playing games. So the league has got involved and said, okay, we'll get involved in making sure that all the games are played. Unfortunate time frame, things like that. Disadvantageous to everybody, if that's even a word. Some teams are going to maybe make up slightly better than others, but we see it's very hard for everybody to complain to me about games when we're in the middle of like a 16-day road trip. And I mean, I don't know what are we going to play? 2, 4, 6 games, and there's 5 games in 7 days or 8 days or something like that. So that's taxing on players, and teams can't pick and choose who and when they'll play completely on their own without some sort of fairness involved. So as of now, the league seems to have gotten involved in at least our games with Lake State and has made this game schedule for next Tuesday and the following Tuesday. Now, I don't know if that is 100%. I believed it was up until last night, but I think we're pretty close to that.
All right, next question for you, Coach, is what is the status of Bantle? This listener obviously is not aware that he is injured. With 3 injuries right now for Michigan Tech. One would be Tommy Paratino, who has not been well enough to play. Bantle, upper body injury, and upper body injury for Grayson Reitmeier as well. What can you tell us about Bantle, Coach?
Like you said, it'll be a few weeks, I'm sure, where he'll be out. I think Grayson is at least in that scenario as well. Tommy may, I think that there's a chance that we'll be able to use him next weekend against Ferris and start acclimating him. I'm not 100% sure on that. But my understanding is it's heading in that direction. So that's where they are. I'm not 100% convinced myself that the hit that Carson took at Bowling Green didn't start what, you know, that he took a, then he got, took a hit against Ferris State, which is going to, same thing's going to happen tomorrow. Ferris came out very physical against Bemidji, knocking a few players out of the game, and Bemidji ended up ending that game the other night with 10 forwards. So they're going to come out physical again. I'm sure, knowing that they have to compete at least in the lines of Huntsville at their compete level. I'm not 100% sure that the hit that Carson took from behind, didn't lead to the injury that he took, in against Fair State.
Okay. We do have a couple more questions. We'll do that after the break. It's the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And again, if you are listening live on Monday morning, you have one last chance to get a question in. DJ@themix93.com. We'll be back.
It's almost Bush o'clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Bush. Crisp, cold, Bush. Enjoy it responsibly. Bush Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel
to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Eu no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du Vietnam.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKFJ. Coach, I talked really briefly with Mark Sinclair during the Saturday pregame skate, and knowing he wasn't going to be playing in net, and just asked him, you know, how it felt being announced as the visiting goaltender at the Von Braun Center. And he said, he's such an even-keeled guy, as you know. He said it was all right. He said it was a little strange at first. And I said, well, at least you didn't get any boos. He goes, no, I did. He goes, you probably couldn't hear him. There were a few boos down in the corner behind him there. But he said it was all in out of respect, those respectful boos that players get when they come in with a different team. But I thought that was interesting, for him to, he gets a start in his old building there, and it had to feel a little bit awkward.
Yeah, tremendous young man. I wish I could say that I've gotten a chance to know him really well, but he's so reserved and quiet. His answers are one word answers and things like that. So he's, I'll say this, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a young man.
Yeah, and I mentioned that to him. I said that exact same thing. I said, Mark, you are so even keel, you know, there's nothing up or down with you. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's the way I like it. That's exactly what he said. I said, that's a good goalie right there. And really are blessed with some great netminders and Blake and Mark and Caden and all those. Just a lot of fun to be around. One more question here for you, Coach, that came in, or at least one more. What was the explanation from the refs, and again, we don't want to open up a can of worms here for you, so answer it as you wish, but what was the explanation from the officials for not issuing a major on the check from behind on Bantle during that Bowling Green series that you had talked about?
Well, we didn't question the officials, and really, to be honest with you, that's kind of how we're trying to handle the officials. Didn't ask them. But I did ask for an explanation to the league office, and the response I got was it was a perfectly clean hit. It was proper technique and the technique that they would want, that they allow. But I looked at the hit that just got a 3-game suspension from a Bowling Green player from the game the other night that started a brawl right near the end of the game, a little mini brawl. And the technique of it seemed identical to me. Now I'm not going to go back to the league and ask, say, okay, I don't see the difference. Cause to be honest with you, I'm just going to eliminate all. I mean, we're near the end of a tough, breakup to some degree. And I just don't think that they really want to discuss that stuff. I get that feeling and nothing's going to be gained by it. But I didn't personally. If someone were to look at go on Flow Hockey and look at both hits, the technique of them, which is all I'm really after moving forward, to me was absolutely identical in the one that gained a 3-game suspension and the one on Carson, which to me was very dangerous as well. So I think I'm very safe and fair in saying that. But to get further than that, to ask the league, can you explain to me, okay, I don't see the difference in this. We're not going to do that. So we got a league explanation, perfectly good hit. The way that they would want it taught is basically what I got from our head of officials.
All right, and I was going to bring this up anyway, but good somebody that sent in a question. What were your thoughts on the Super Bowl, Coach?
I'm glad I was okay with anybody winning. It didn't matter. I didn't think it was much of a football game. I thought the game was very one-sided. I was doing video while I was watching it, so maybe I was a bit distracted. But I thought it was the two teams you'd want to see. If you were to go at the beginning of the year, okay, what two teams? Maybe Green Bay, but I certainly think that people wanted to see Brady. play. There's a lot of people who want to see Brady play, but I didn't think it came to that game. I don't think that Kansas City was really ever in the football game in any degree. I thought it was totally dominated by Tampa Bay. But good win for Tampa. Nice championship for another one for Brady and add to his accolades. But I didn't think it was a lot of excitement in the football game.
You know, I've always said this, football is such a unique sport compared to, you know, the other major sports, and you have a one giant game. You know, it would be such a different view of things if it was a best of seven or even a best of three when it comes down to winning the Super Bowl, but you just don't get it, so you have to have that magical day, and it just wasn't a magical day for Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the ratings on the game, too, because it just didn't seem to... And this may be me, maybe just because of the pandemic, because I'm a big NFL fan, but I didn't watch a ton of NFL football this year, spot games here and there. So, and I'd be interested to know the viewership, if it was up or down or where it was, because the commercial hype, I mean, the whole thing seemed to have lost a little bit. And then I think the game went in that lines as well. So maybe when the pandemic gets over, or maybe it was just me. Maybe the viewership was the highest ever. I don't know that. I haven't seen any of that this morning.
All right, Coach. Well, hey, three games coming up against Bob Daniels' team, Ferris State University, tomorrow at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Those two on the weekend will be at the John McInnes Student Ice Arena, a team that we're going to be very familiar with by the time this is all over. They had an interesting weekend against Bemidji State, getting that shootout win on Friday and then losing on Saturday. But what are your thoughts about going into tomorrow's game and then having to play them again at home?
Well, like I said, they're going to come out extremely physical. I know that. They're going to come out trying to make the small rink be advantageous to them and not give our defensemen time to make plays. We're going to have to work the puck out of our zone with numbers and make sure that we have redundant support throughout that process, moving it up ice. I think we'll get some chances offensively because of that aggressiveness, and as will Ferris. So it'll be the team that obviously scores more goals is going to come out on top. Ferris is I said before, Bowling Green, after the series, I heard a coach upstairs say that Ferris State was the best team they've played this year. So they work hard. They have they're extremely well coached. I'll say this. If there was a second team, if there was a coaching staff that I could be around, like, to pick things up, it'd be Ferris State. They have, like, 75 years collective experience at Ferris State in college hockey between them, and they've taken the team to the championship game and lost a tough game to BC in the championship game of the NCAA tournament. They're the only team in the WCHA who's won a postseason game in the NCAA tournament. They beat St. Cloud, who I believe was number one when they beat them the one year. They beat St. Cloud and then advanced the second game and played a good game. So their staff, they understand it. Mark Kaufman's coached in the National Hockey League. Bob Daniels is a tremendous coach. Drew Famulak is a great recruiter and a good coach. And that would be the staff, if I could follow staff around and just listen and hear them in our league, that'd be the one that I'd want to be around.
Yeah, assistant coach Kaufman, as you mentioned, he's the new guy. He's only been there 17 years.
Yeah, and was there before that.
Right.
He's been there 17 consecutive and was there before that.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. Coach, when they scored four goals on us last Tuesday, that's a lot for us to give up. But you didn't seem concerned about that, and you kind of hinted that was the style of game that Ferris plays. They're going to get their goals.
Well, they're up in league scoring. If
right.
you look at them in league scoring, they're up in the upper echelon. Bemidji did keep them to one goal the other night, and I haven't completely watched that game other than to know that how it ended up, and it was a physical game. But they can score, and in their rink, everything, all the bounces and things work in their favor. They pull a guy out, they throw him up. If you don't have quick pressure on them on the forecheck, they're throwing the puck up to the neutral zone and creating two-on-one opportunities, and they did that to us. We didn't give up a ton of scoring chances, but the ones they got were quality scoring chances, and they scored. I think they didn't have a lot of them, and they scored like on one every two of them, and they weren't on the fault of terrible goaltending. They were on the fault of them making plays and some individual efforts that they're able to quickly transition and turn them into games. And if we hadn't scored as much as we scored, obviously it's a different game. So we were able to get 5 or 6 in that game. I don't remember what it was. I think was it 5-4 or 6-4 with an empty net?
6-4 with the empty net, yeah.
Yeah, so we were able to get some pucks in the net. But they scored their goals, and a little bit tighter defensively maybe for them, a little bit different goaltending, maybe a little bit for them, and they come out on top. So it's going to be a hard hockey game. It always is here.
All right, well, game time is at 4:07. Before we let you go, Coach, just wanted to get some other comments on some of the other WCHA and out-of-town scores from over the weekend, specifically the big matchup between Minnesota State and Bowling Green. We touched on it a little bit, but 4-0 Minnesota State in the first game on Friday night, and then 5-1 on Saturday night. If I remember right, I think a lot of the stats in that game, besides the goal scored, were pretty even.
Yeah, Bowling Green I think someone from Bowling Green said it perfectly, sent a message out that said that they thought that they were closer to Mankato than they are, and they may not be as close as they thought they were, and that's probably, Mankato is that good. They're that much above everybody. They flexed the muscle last weekend, and I'm happy for them that they, they do it the right way. I think they do it the right way there, and you want that to be the example from our league, that a team plays it hard, plays it straight up, plays their best guys. I think they do it the right way, so they just flex the muscle, I think.
All right, and then the Lake State Northern series finished up yesterday. Lake State winning in overtime on Saturday night, and Northern Michigan coming away with the win yesterday in overtime, with Vanderbeck getting the game winner.
But Lake State scored 2 goals late. It was I watched yesterday's game, the majority of it. I thought Lake State looked very good in that game. I thought they played, and I talked to Tom Sertori this morning, and he felt the same way. Like, he watched it as well, Tom Sertori from Bemidji. We thought that Lake State looked really good in that hockey game and probably controlled the tempo and the flow, at least for the part of the game that I watched. But Northern Michigan was able to open up a 3-1 lead, I believe, in the third period. We took it from 1-1 to 3-1, and then Lake State pulled their goaltender and scored 2 goals in the last, basically the last minute, with the goaltender out to tie the game. And they scored with us with the minute out. So it's something we're going to have to watch and be cognizant of that. So Northern was able to score in overtime and get the win. But you know the irony of, not irony, but the interesting thing this year, Lake State has made 1 road trip this entire season. Now, you think of how much we've been on the road, and Lake State has made 1 road trip, and that was to Northern Michigan this entire season. That's actually amazing that you can be into February, pandemic or not, and have traveled for played one series on the road.
Yeah, that is strange. All right, well, we can't wait, Coach. We can't wait for a couple of things. We can't wait for the game tomorrow afternoon. I'm glad it's an early game. We can't wait for the Huskies to be back home and do 7 in a row, I think, at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, or we're hoping 7 in a row at the McGinnis Student Ice Arena. Can't wait to see you again, Coach, and we wish you safe travels. What's the agenda for today and tomorrow for you and the guys? Practice time, obviously, but getting ready for that game tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll practice this afternoon, and we have some video. We'll do some video after practice, and then we'll get ready for tomorrow's game, and then we finally get to head north right after the game tomorrow night and start heading north and allow some guys to sleep a couple nights in their own bed.
All right, Coach, safe travels. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and good luck in that game against Ferris State.
Great, thanks, Dirk.
That's Head Coach Joe Schoen right here on Mix 93 WKMJ, the Joe Schoen Hour, every Monday at 10 o'clock and then replayed again at 6 o'clock on Mondays. Husky hockey tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 pregame, 4:07 drop of the puck from Big Rapids as the Huskies take on Ferris State. And then this Friday and Saturday, they'll take on the same Bulldogs, but at home. 6:07 Friday night. Sorry, 7:07 Friday night, 6:07 on Saturday night. And you can hear both games on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Chargers zone. Huntsville will work it up the center ice. Taken away by the Huskies. On the transition across the line. Nardella making a move. Just couldn't get the shot off. Swings it to the front and they score! What a play by Nardella to the front of the net. Ashbrook was the beneficiary on that one. Puts it in. And the Huskies take a 3-1 lead with 13:30 remaining in the period.